special song to share this morning. Maybe we can, at least in our hearts today, sing a song of praise to our Lord. He is surely worthy. We want to open our Bibles this morning. I believe it's 1 Corinthians. It's 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter and the 18th verse. And I may end up having others read some for me. I don't know if I can give you out some verses. I'll give out some verses, and you don't have to take it right now, but be prepared. Maybe write it down, and when we get to them, somebody could be prepared to read it if I ask for it. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. Then James 1, 22, 23, 24, 25. Those verses, James 1. Then the next one would be Philippians 3, 13, 14. And then Romans 14, 10th verse, 11th and 12th. Daniel 5, 26 and 27. What we want to think about this morning is the topic, I guess I would put, or the title I might put is Mirrors and Open Faces. Does that sound like a biblical title here this morning? But maybe if you think about the verse about open face, that we all with open face, you might think of the scripture, part of what. But I'm thinking this morning about a mirror and the open face. I think a mirror is something that reflects what we see. I'm thinking also about mirrors and pictures and bathroom scales. They're all truth tellers. You like them? I'll just tell you that I've not liked cameras, pictures. I don't like them. I really don't like mirrors. And I've gotten to where I don't like bathroom scales. But every one of them tell me they're impersonal. They tell me the truth. They don't varnish it. That's just what's there. A mirror tells me what I am now, whether I like it or not. Some of you may like mirrors, but I don't like looking at them. I can see why some of you might like them, but I see in the mirror, I look at that and I say, Lord, have mercy on everybody else that has to look at this. So I don't mean that just to be funny, but it is, a mirror tells us who we are. A picture tells us what I've been. It's more about the past. And a bathroom scale also tells us something about now. And it tells me the truth again. So I would like to think this morning, as we go into our first verse, Corinthians, the third. Yeah, I'm in the right place. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18 says, but we all with open face. I think about that term right there, we all with open face. What is that meaning? You know, I know here when the subject he was dealing with here, he was talking about the veil that was over their face when Moses came down from the mount and he delivered the law to the children of Israel, and they couldn't fully comprehend, they couldn't fully look on the glory of the Lord because of the condition that they were in. They weren't able to fully embrace God, but today now, we all with open face, it's a different era, it's a different time, through the grace of God that has brought salvation to mankind, the blood has been shed on Calvary, the Lord has come and made us so that we can come boldly to the throne of grace. I would add along with that, we not only come boldly, but we come humbly with that boldness. We don't come arrogantly, but we come to the Lord with a great confidence in what the blood of Jesus Christ has done in our heart. But I can come to Him boldly to the throne of grace. But now here, but we all with open face, there is something, not only the veil is taken away, but there has, to me, this also has an element also of a great honesty. I'm looking in a mirror. I'm looking in a glass. I am seeing something that the Lord Himself, there is something here. And sometimes when I, have you ever heard of the Scripture or the Word of God being compared to the mirror? I believe it's right. Doesn't it show a reflection? Doesn't it, when we come to the Word of the Lord, whether it is something we've read or something by His Holy Spirit that He brings clearly to our minds, or sometimes in the preaching of the Word, whenever we're exposed to the Lord Himself dealing with our heart, He reveals truly who we are. And why does He do it? He does it out of love. He doesn't do it out of a sense of, you know, my nature right now, I don't like looking at mirrors, but the mirror of the Word is something we should love to look at. It's because not only will it be true to my soul, with open face, I don't need to have a veil between me and what God's showing me. I don't need to have anything that clouds my vision here. I need to say with an open, honest face, say, Lord, that is me. Think of what the difference would have been in David's life. You know, he was caught, clearly, it was a sin that he was caught up in. And he was confronted. When he was confronted, he could have taken different routes and could have blamed everybody else. Lord, that woman or this circumstance, and all, he could have blamed all that and deflected. But he looked in the mirror and he said, yes, I am the man. God help us to be honest enough to admit what we see in the mirror. Because it's brought to us not out of a heart to try to crush and destroy, but a heart to acknowledge, that we might acknowledge where our need is, and then He is able to supply that need. He doesn't bring us to the place of condemnation without an answer for our need. Our God is love. And love not only brings us to the place of knowing who we are. He'll stand the mirror up before us and we see it clearly. And sometimes and we should rightly, sometimes hang our head and say, oh Lord, I wish I was different. And He answers sweetly and says, you can be. Because I provided this something for you. Thank the Lord for the mirror. Thank the Lord for His love and His mercy and what He's provided for the mirror of His Word. Thank the Lord for that this morning. The Word of God is a mirror. It's impartial and accurate portrayal of what we are. It's impartial. It doesn't cut corners. Doesn't try to say, well, you know, I think you'd be embarrassed. No, it's just accurate. It's true. He's true to our soul. The Lord is true to us. We all with open face, as I look then at the glory of the Lord. Have you ever begun to see pictures in your mind and comprehend the glory, the power, the majesty, the holiness, all that God is, and see how that in the midst of being done unjustly, that Jesus was horribly treated. It was a horrible injustice that was given, that was perpetrated on Him, and He yielded Himself to it. He didn't bite back, and He could have.
But in the midst of all that, he yielded for the glory that was set before him. Oh, I think there was a joy that was set before him, wasn't it? For the joy that was set before him, I believe he knew that if he stayed the course, if he knew the value of being true. And as he went all the way to the cross, I think there was a joy that was set before him. He knew what would happen, that he could bring salvation to you and I. He could bring changing power for broken people. He changes lives. He changes our lives. He's got an answer for my problems and yours. And everybody from wherever we stand before the Lord today, from our saved state, he has an answer for our needs. To the man that is utterly fallen, he's got an answer for him too. Thank God for that this morning. We, with open face, so we now begin to see the glory of the Lord, and I feel challenged when I stand up before his glory and all that he accomplished. When I stand up and look at, he had all the reason in the world to return anger for injustice. He could have done that, but there wasn't hate. There wasn't any part of that in our Lord. There, instead, there was love. There was a desire to go all the way that we might be saved. And I look at that and I'm challenged, because it's easy for me to feel hurt. And it's easy for me to blame somebody else for my hurts. It's easy. That's almost is it natural? It seems almost human nature, isn't it? To want to take away a hurt feeling when even sometimes we don't have to. But it seems like the devil will always provide opportunity. It's what was it Jesus said? That offenses will come. It's going to happen. So because of that fact of life, God help us to be prepared not to take the offense. Jesus didn't. You know, he could have, the man that was hanging next to him on the cross, there was one railed on him. The other one said, I'm here. We are both here because we've done wrong. This man is innocent. They were sinner men hanging beside him, approaching the end of their life. And one simply looked at him and said, remember me. He likely didn't know what else to say. When you come into your kingdom, he believed him. This is a king here beside me on this cross. There's a king. And he believed that his kingdom wasn't going to end that day on the cross. He said, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus said, you're going to be with me in paradise. Now, shortly, today, you're going to be with me in paradise. Behold, what love. It would have been easy to say, oh, you've been a sinner man for a long time. You've rejected all the calls that God had given you. And now here you're at the time of judgment. You should just go on out there like this other one. But the man received mercy, because that's who our God is. But we all with open face, beholding the, as in a glass, as a reflection, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. As we're beholding this now, we are challenged. We are changed. We are brought to the place of saying, Lord, I want to be like that. Lord, I want to be like that. Lord. And it's a drawing. There's a drawing force. When you see such nobility, such righteousness on display, it challenges us. And I say, Lord, don't we say that when we behold the glory of the Lord as in a glass? We see that, to see the image of all his beautiful glory and what he had. It brings hope then to us and say, oh, there's a challenge. I want to be there. I want to gain that mountain. I want that in my life. I remember when the Lord was dealing, I hardly recognized it as the Lord dealing with me at that point. But I I was a hardened young man in my sin, and the Lord started talking to me one time after an episode where I was not doing very good at all. And he said, if you ever have a son, do you want him to be like you? And I had to say no. Because when we recognize what we know and the nobility of what is right, it challenges us. And we say, I want to be like that. Help me gain that, Lord. And I want to tell you, dear ones, though we're saved and sanctified, there is yet a mark that Christ has set before us that is greater than what we've attained yet. Every time I may gain what ground the Lord has challenged me to gain, I go and gain that, and then the Lord says, but here's some more. As I behold His glory, I see more. It's reflection there, and I see Him, and then I see me, and I say, Lord, change me. Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image. Oh, I want to be more like Him, do we not? Lord, help us to be more like You. Oh, I'm challenged, and I see His glory as I begin to comprehend what He represents to us, to mankind, to me as an individual, to you as an individual. I'm challenged, and I say, Lord, help us to be more like You. I want to be changed into Your glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. All right. I want to go on. Does somebody have James 1? 22. Just a second before we start. Forgive me for stopping you. But I want to take note here. She already read, be ye doers of the word. There are times when we see ourselves in the Word of God. And then we are faced with a decision. What am I going to do? We can behold, we can recognize, the next step is to turn away from the old man and to the new. But then I think of sometimes how when we see ourselves and we're facing that decision, there's something else we can do. We can embrace it and acknowledge it and allow the Lord to work with us. Or we can deny it. Perhaps I could step over into the bathroom scales for a little bit. Today, this generation probably doesn't know much about the old bathroom scales. We used to have a dial on the front of that bathroom scale, a digital today. I suppose all of them are, but back then there was a dial on the side that you could move the handle, the spring tension on that bathroom scale either up or down, and you can fudge it 10 or 20 pounds. You can make yourself feel better. But that's all you're doing. You know, when we can see ourselves in the Word of God, sometimes we can say, well, that's really not me. Let me put my hand on the dial and I'll just turn it a little bit. That doesn't mean that. And we can make ourselves feel better. But it's not true. When we don't put an unjust weight on the balance. You know, there's unjust weight. You know, it talks about that in the Scripture. But when we don't put our finger on the balance and falsify it, it will always tell us the truth. And it is a truth that will set us in a place that we can acknowledge what's really there, and then we can deal with the Lord. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead and read James 1, 22,
23, 24, 25. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed.
Thank the Lord. Let's go back up. But be ye a doer of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We can take the word of God. There's a scripture said that they rested the word of God to their own heart. You know what that means? They took it and they knew what the word of God said, but they diminished it. They set it aside because it was easier to ignore than to obey. And here Brother James is saying, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You see what happens when I begin to excuse myself in light of the word of God. There is nothing else left to happen except a beginning, at least, of deception that begins to creep over my thinking. And it'll slowly, if we allow it to continue, if we don't deal honestly without, if we take away the openness of my face, there needs to be honesty. I see clearly what the Lord is showing me. And don't let anything cloud the vision at that point. But we can deceive ourselves. We can choose to have something less than what the Lord is asking. And where I clearly see it in the scripture, but I say, well, maybe that's for brother so-and-so, somebody else this morning. Maybe it's for somebody sitting beside me in the bench. That is not for me this morning. I'm doing fine. Be careful. Because the word is true to our soul. Deceiving yourselves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not one that goes ahead and carries through and accomplishes what they heard, obeys what they heard. If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man that looked at himself in the mirror and turned around and said, I don't like what I saw. I'm going to forget it. Going to act like it's not there. It's still there. You still have to look at me this morning. I'm not having to look at me because I'm not a mirror before me. But I feel sorry for you. But folks, that's still who we are. I can turn from the mirror. We can turn from the mirror and try to make excuses for what we saw there. Yeah. We can reach down to the set of scales and turn the dial and say, I think I'm going to run that back 20 pounds. The only one you're deceiving, only one we're deceiving is ourselves. Because it's still the truth. It's impartial. It's not there to make you feel good or bad. It is what it is. It's a truth. And that's what God wants us to deal with. If any man be a hearer of the word, not a doer of the, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face. That's who he is. There's no makeup on this one. That's who I am. His natural face in a glass, for he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, gazes in that, it's more than a cursory glance. It is an acknowledgement of what we see there. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. Of the work. I like how he said that. But a doer of the work. Whenever we see ourselves, there's responsibility is laid there. There's a work for us to do. God is doing his work. He's acknowledging. He's revealing to us who we are. The rest, there's something for us to do now. When the Lord reveals unto us who we are, there's a job for us to do. There's a work. He's a doer of the work. God help us to embrace it. Whether we like what we see in the mirror or not, it's okay not to like it. In fact, we should probably not like what we see in the mirror. But we should ask God for grace to change. We don't have to stay the man that we see in the mirror. We can change By the grace of God, we can change. This is the heart of the gospel that we share with mankind. We don't have to stay the old man. The mirror is true. And we get alone sometimes and we look in the mirror and we recognize, and sometimes we can bemoan who we have become when we're all by ourselves, being honest with ourselves. And the Lord comes and says, but you don't have to be like that any longer. Oh, what wonderful gospel that we hear at that moment. He's saying, you don't have to be like that. Well, you can change. For whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, I want to tell you, it is a law. It is truth. But there is a liberty there. There's two aspects to this liberty. There's one that says you can acknowledge it or you can turn around. You don't have to. He's not going to force you. But I want to tell you, also, when we accept it with a loving gesture that it was given, and we return out of our depths of our heart a love back to the Lord, it causes such a freeing of our soul. There's such a liberty that comes in that. I do this not out of bondage. I do this out of love and respect and honor to my King. And if you're doing it out of just legalism, folks, there's a better way. There's a better way. Yet show I unto you a more excellent way, and it's this one of godly love. This place that captivates our hearts and draws us away from ourselves unto a godlikeness. We behold His glory, and I'm being changed in His image by the Holy Spirit working in our lives. Said over there in 2 Corinthians, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, he heard it, he saw it, he recognized, he's now been motivated to work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. The Lord puts a blessing on that. Acknowledgement and recognizing and being willing to submit myself actively, intentionally. Lord, I want to be, I'm seeking your face now. I want to be like you. Pictures, snapshot of the past. When I look in my mind, there's sometimes there's some snapshots in my history that I have done my best to forget. And the Lord in time has caused those memories and those snapshots in my mind, some things that that has caused great bad memories of my unsaved life. Over the years, there's been enough space come between me and that moment that some of that has diminished. And I thank God for that. That's back there. But one of the things the Lord has left me with enough memory that I recognize that, and it causes a joy to rise in my heart because I can look at that and say, I'm not that man anymore. Thank God for that. Now, God doesn't want us to take the guilt of that back there. He didn't want us to carry that forward because He has cast the guilt of that into the sea of what we call the sea of forgetfulness, as far as the east is from the west. Never to remember it against us anymore. Thank God for that, but I still remember some things. And when I remember it, I think that God Himself still loves me. Oh, I am so encouraged. I am so inspired. Thank you, Lord. You see, a picture is something of the past. It captures a moment back then. But one good thing about a picture, we all change, do we not? I've seen pictures when I was first got married, and my wife and I thought, oh, we sure looked a lot different back then. Time's made a change in us, folks. Time, if we continue to having it, is going to continue making changes in us. But time won't always be here. There's an appointment that we all must have. Time will come to an end. It's scriptural. It's just a fact. Again, it's truth. It's a mirror now standing before us saying that time will not always be. But a picture is a snapshot of some point in the past, and I am grateful
that we can change for the better. What was it, Paul? Let's look over into Philippians, the third chapter. Whoever has that, 13 and 14. Read for us. Philippians 3, 13 and 14. All right, let's take note here just a second. Brother Paul is saying, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. What does that mean to your minds? I think to me, he's saying, I haven't gained all that I want to gain yet. I'm not there yet. This is a saved and sanctified man saying, there's a land still ahead of me. I believe he was happy for the land that the Lord had given him, the land that he owned and possessed. He was grateful for that. But the Lord's not done with any of us. I don't care how saved and sanctified you are. The Lord is interested in bringing us to a better, to a more fullness of the dwelling in the land of sanctification. The Lord wants to bring us into a greater possession. And Paul said in his recognition of his own self, he said, I count not myself to have apprehended. But there's one thing that I do, the snapshot of my past. That thing that I used to remember when I was standing there and they laid their coats at my feet and I was egging them on and said, throw another stone at Brother Stephen. And the grief that I remember when I caused some of my brethren back then, when I entreated them and tried to force them to deny our Lord and Savior. Oh, it's a grief in my back. Back there, it's a snapshot of my past. That picture needs to be burned back. But forgetting those things, it's a snapshot. We don't have to be. That doesn't have to be our identity today. It wasn't Paul forgetting those things, you see. Though there might be some things in the past of all of our lives that we look back on and greatly regret. And probably we should. But as we look back there, that doesn't have to be the identity of us today. Because if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Thank God for that. Go ahead, read.
Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus.
Thank God. I say amen to this with Brother Paul. Me too, brother. Let me link arms with you, my brother. I feel the same way. I look back and there's some snapshots, some pictures of the past. And they were true. They told me the truth. That's who I was. But it doesn't have to be me now. Forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. There is such richness that we find in Jesus Christ. Not only forgiveness, and I'm grateful for His forgiveness, but He doesn't just end and working with us through forgiveness. He doesn't go home and say, now you're saved, just do the best you can. No. He's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. He knows where we are, every one of us today. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows your downsettings. He knows your uprisings. He knows places where you feel like you're on the mountaintop and you feel like you're under the mountain. He knows both of those. And He hasn't left you. And none of those have to be your identity. None of those. Your identity is in Christ. The snapshots of the past, the pictures that used to be. And maybe the picture of yesterday doesn't have to be your identity of today. Because today, we can submit ourselves to the mighty hand of God. Today, we can. There's a song in our songbook, number 300, that says, I can see. There's a verse in that song that says, I can see far down the mountain where I wandered weary years, often hindered in my journey by the ghosts of doubts and fears. Broken vows and disappointments thickly sprinkled all the way, but the Spirit is led unerring to where I stand today, to the place that we have now. The Spirit has led an airing to the land I hold today. Thank God for that. Our identity doesn't have to be static. It doesn't have to be who we used to was. It can be who we are today in Christ Jesus. And there we can grow in His grace, and we can develop in His holy ways. And the Lord wants to do that with us. Just like we do with our children as we raise them, we want to see them develop in the ways of nobility, of godliness. And God looks at you and I, and He feeds us and grows us. And when we cry, He cuddles us. And when we're hungry, He feeds us. And when we're in trouble, He lifts us up and He points us forward and says, and when we stub our toes and fall, He doesn't crush us. He comes and picks us up and says, keep on walking, son. He has not. So many times we as humans, when we stumble and fall, the devil comes and says, you've utterly fallen and cannot arise. But that's not what God says. That's not what He says. The righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up. He doesn't stay there. Because God Himself loves, and He wants to nurture our souls into wholeness, into completeness, into strength. Our identity doesn't have to be one of constant failure. Our identity can be one of victory. Victory in Jesus. I have something written here in boldness with an exclamation behind it. It says, we can change. I want us to know that. It's the very reason why Christ came. We can change by His grace, by what He's provided for us. One look now over into another area. We'll end up going over here in Romans 14. I have written here, the bathroom scales are also truth tellers. We may argue with them, but they don't care about your arguments. You can say, I don't like you. We can want to throw them out the window. But they don't care how you feel. They're only interested in telling the truth. Romans 14, 10, 11, 12. Would somebody read?
Before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God.
But why dost thou judge thy brother? Quite a question, isn't it? I don't feel so perfect in all my judgments that I can tell you that you're so wrong. Now, if the Bible is very clear and says that you're doing something wrong, we can say this is what the Bible says. But sometimes in our human judgments, we all can vary in what we understand. I want to tell you, I think all of our judgments should be guided by the very character of Christ. We should seek for His guidance in our judgment of life. But I will tell you that I haven't always been right in my judgments. And because I recognize, along with Paul, perhaps, that forgetting things which are behind, I've got to press, I've got to move, I've got to go forward. I haven't attained yet. I have not gained that level of owning all this land of Canaan. I believe there's more land of Canaan for each one of us to own. And because of that, because I've recognized my own facts that my judgment hasn't always been right, I've got to look at you and say, I don't have a right to tell you that you're so evil or wrong. I'm not wanting to discount the fact that the Scripture is very truthful with every one of us. But I'm talking about our personal interaction now with each other. I can be so self-righteous that I'll cut off everybody around me. And that's not good. It hurts me when I do that. And it causes strife and contention. That's not godly. It's much better if we both encourage each other to live rightly. Brother, let's go up into Zion. Let's climb the mountain. Let's do this together. Because when two are able to walk up the mountain together, and if one stumbles, the other can pick him up. But if you're alone, if you're the only one climbing, you're at greater risk. We're better. It's much better for us to be a unit than a single individual. It's much better. No, I'm not promoting the idea that we can be compromising in our spiritual walk. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not saying that we live below holy ways. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying as we're pursuing godliness, we haven't arrived yet to the state of perfection that we don't have more growth. We haven't arrived to that point yet. And because of that, God help us each one to be understanding and encouraging to each other and link arms and say, brother, let's walk up Zion. Let's climb this mountain. Let's gain the heights that the Lord would have us. And we're all going to be at different places in our understanding. We are. For various reasons, we are. I want to encourage us to seek for the Lord with our whole heart. But why dost thou judge thy brother? It's a good verse. That also is intended to be tempered and be understood in a right way. There's also a verse that says we are to recognize fruit. There's false prophets that you recognize fruit. By their fruit you'll know them. There's that aspect of this too. It's for our own protection. It's not for our eternal judgment on somebody else's soul. But it's for my own protection that the Lord would have us to judge righteous judgment. To recognize places of danger. Because the Lord would like to help us discern where danger is. That we might negotiate around it and seek righteousness. That's where the Lord wants us. But be careful how we exercise. Let's not be carnal with each other in this. Let's uphold one another, inspire each other to godliness. Well, why dost thou set not thy brother? Now this was written in the context of back then there were some Jews who had received Christ. And there were some Gentiles who had received Christ. Some of the Jews felt very sensitive to the idea that the Jews or the Gentiles that came and were part of this new church that Jesus has built, they said, well, you need to still be like us Jews. There's some old Judaic customs that you need and don't eat that meat that offends us. We're not supposed to eat anything here that possibly could be offered to idols. You see, that there was this contention and sensitivity. And Paul was saying, don't be judging of your brother. Be careful how you handle each other. Why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Again. Okay, here's a mirror of the word. Has stood up and said, all of us are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. How does that make you feel this morning? I don't know. Do you know when you're going to stand? I don't. I don't think you do either. But it's just a fact that we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're not going to escape it. And we don't have to dread it. Because of Christ, we don't have to dread it. Because of the gospel, because of the blood that was shed on Calvary, we don't have to dread that summons. Because God Himself has made a way. that we can not only be forgiven of our sins, cleansed from our iniquity, that we can be set right and brought holy to the Lord. He is able to present you faultless. Is that what? Where was that? Jude? Where was that? He's able to present you faultless before. I'm sorry, I'm not quoting that. But that's in that verse. He is able to present us faultless. And God would have us to embrace His identity today. Why dost thou set not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself. All right. The scales are brought out. Now, we can, when we can begin to assess my own life, it's human nature to try to excuse things that are wrong. With me anyway, or maybe I won't excuse it with you, but I'm willing to tell you why mine's different than your case. I've got reasons that it's okay for me. Maybe not for you, but for me, it's okay. Be careful. Because that's likely the devil trying to put an unjust balance. You reach down there and you run that little dial on the side of the bathroom scales and say, well, I look better now. Well, it's not so. It's not so. Because we're all going to have to give an account. And I want to tell you, when we step up there, He knows all. He knows if we've tried to adjust a scale or try to make excuses. He knows exactly what to hold us accountable for, because He knows what we know. He knows what we're accountable to. He knows that this child, some of these little children, don't know morally what's exactly right. They might know that sometimes the parents don't approve of some things, but there comes a place that every one of us, as we grow into adulthood, there's a place that we understand, we recognize that I've done something wrong morally. And at that point, we're held accountable for our knowledge. He that knoweth to do good and doeth it not to him, it's sin. And when that knowledge comes, well, then we're accountable for it. And God knows what to hold us for. Sometimes people are ignorant. And the Lord doesn't hold them to the same accountability to those that aren't ignorant. But God Himself, now I want to clarify some of that. It doesn't give us a right to say, well, I just don't want to read the word, so I'm going to be ignorant, so I'm going to be innocent. That's not going to work. Because the Lord knows how much you do know, and He's going to hold you accountable. Okay. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And that challenges me. Hope it challenges you today. Because I look at myself a little differently when I think that I'm going to stand before the August Majesty on high. Because we will. None of us will escape that. All of us. And then I'm thinking about, it's a verse, and I know it maybe isn't completely, but it talks about, as so much more so as you see that day approaching. That was talking about neglect the assembling of yourselves together. But also there is another day that's approaching. And as we see that day approaching, some of us aren't as young as what we used to be. And quite frankly, none of us know when that appointment is going to be up. None of us know that. But so much more as you see that day approaching, as some of us, we recognize that day is approaching definitely closer. I remember my Grandpa Beasley used to say, by reason, I don't have many more days. Today, we can reasonably look and recognize that age has changed. Time has passed over us and has changed us. Many of us, Sister Marshall, we're not as young as we used to be. We're not the same people we were. And it's telling, it's marking our faces, it's marking our memory, and it's recognizing that the day is approaching. And I'm going to stand. The day's coming. I'm going to stand. Lord, help me to, with open face, with honesty, look at you and simply say, Lord, what I see in that mirror, I see some changes I want made. Will you change me? And he'll say yes, because he loves his children and he likes binding up the wounds and he likes setting straight things that are crooked. He likes taking feet that are twisted and recreating them. He likes making hinds the crippled to leap upon the mountains. He wants their feet to be made like hinds' feet, that we might actually ascend in his holy mountain. Folks, I want to be one of those. And I want to walk up Mount Zion with you. And not just you, so many others that are outside this door. I want them to come and let's work together to go up and ascend up God's holy hill, because I want him. This puts an urgency in my soul to know that you and I are not the only ones that will stand before God and give account. They will too. They will too. Lord, help us to save some or bring them to him. I'll read this next verse, Daniel 5. In the fifth chapter of Daniel, he gives us a solemn account of man's responsibility before God. You remember the story of the king that had such a drunken party. He had made a big feast for so many of his nobles and brought them in. It was a huge feast. And in the middle of his addled, drunken mind, he said, bring out the vessels of the Lord. You remember that story? Bring out that we might drink unto our gods. The Lord takes note, dear ones. He takes note. He began to write over on a wall. I want to tell you, I think if any of us saw the hand of God writing over on the wall, if he started writing over here, I think we'd be just like this king. I think our joints would be loose and our knees would start knocking. That's not normal. But it was God in his mercy saying something to them. Daniel was sought because he was one that had in the past had been able to interpret dreams. And they brought him in there and he looked at the writing and he was able to read it. This 26th verse says, this is the interpretation of the thing. There were four words written on that wall. Actually three. One was repeated twice. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. I may not have said all those words right, but I tried to say it as represent. Something was written on that wall. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene means God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. The balance, it's time to be weighed. It's time to give an account. The time is now. And he told the king that. He said it twice. You have been noticed. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. The judgment is now. Tekel means thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. What a sad state. Especially when we recognize today that doesn't have to be our final doom. We don't have to, though the scale will tell us truthfully where we are, that doesn't have to be our eternal identity. I don't have to stay 230 pounds. I can lose weight. I don't have to stay with the identity of a man that has been socked into a cycle of destruction and failure. That doesn't have to be, though that is my weight today, though that could be our weight today, though that would be their case. It doesn't have to continue that way, because the blood of Jesus Christ cries out, deliver him to all who takes and plunges underneath the blood today. There's deliverance in Jesus Christ today. Identities change in him. We can be a new creature. We can be a new man. I want to tell you, time is ticking down. I'm not saying this to make us scared. I'm saying this to be factual. We all will stand before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account. And this king had a writing on the wall that for all to see that said, you've been weighed and you've been found lacking in want. That's a sad comment. And I don't know what he could have done perhaps to change that. Maybe he had crossed beyond the line. He had went too far. But that's not our case here today. None of us have went so far that we're beyond the grace of Christ, of God. There's a very reason why he comes and says, I've got a balance. I've got a weight. And it's a just weight. It's a true weight. It doesn't excuse us, nor does it make his truth too rigid. It's just right. It's truth. And he asks us today to acknowledge, to look with open face, the mirror. Mirrors and open faces. Did I see truly who I am in the face of our Lord? Whether a sinner here today, we see that. But we also see in that same mirror, we see a Christ who shed his blood and says to that man in the mirror, I don't have to be like that any longer. If I'm a saved man today and I'm looking in that mirror, there's also hope for the places that I might struggle in my life. There's hope in that. There's grace. He calls us to a place of greater holiness. He calls us to a place of greater, they say it like the greater victory in our life. Oh, he sits as a purifier. The sons of Levi. He wants to purify and cleanse and continue to work in our lives. So every one of us, as we look, and I just want to tell us that I don't think any of us, when we truly look at his greatness and his glory, there's not any of us can say, Lord, I just feel so fantastically perfect now that I'm just like you. No, every time I look at it, I say, Lord, I want to be more like you. I'm challenged, Lord. He doesn't look at us in our fault and condemn us. He looks at us in our fault and provides an answer for our need because he loves us. God bless us all today. I'm not interested in us feeling a lot of condemnation. I'm interested in us feeling hope today. I'm interested in us recognizing there is a God that wants to help us with life and take us safely that he might present us faultless before the throne of the Father. I want to be one of those. Pray for me.